Hello, and welcome to the Motina Books Podcast. We publish books by and for mothers, and there's a special place in our heart for single mothers. My name is Diane Windsor. I'm the founder of Motina Books, and I also lead a large single parent support group here in North Texas. Single Side Up is a single parent support program that is part of the nonprofit family strengthening organization, This Side Up Family. We are the largest and most active single parent group in North Texas. In this podcast, we will discuss our books, our authors, and issues affecting single parents. If you have written or want to write a book, or if you'd like to discuss an issue that pertains to single parent families, please feel free to reach out to us. Well, hi there. Today is April 3rd, and I know that I have been out of pocket for a while. You know, as a fairly new podcaster, I'm still kind of trying to get into the swing of things, but I do realize that one of the best things that you can do for your listening audience is to be consistent when the new podcast is supposed to be aired, be consistent with the schedule, and I was really hoping to be able to provide a new episode twice a month, and I did okay for a little while there. But then in late February, I got news that my father was in the hospital. And I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm not an excuse type of person. Life just got in the way. So my dad is 85 years old. He turned 85 in January. And in February of 2016, my stepmother and I decided that it was time to move him to a memory care facility. He was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. He had been diagnosed for about a year by then, and my stepmom, well, let me tell you, I call her my stepmom, but my parents, my dad and she had never married. My mother died in 1995, and shortly after her death, Dad met this new lady, which was great. I wanted him to be happy, but they decided to keep everything separate, their finances and everything, which was fine. That's what they wanted, and it was easier for them to do so. But my stepmom, she acted like his wife. She took care of him. She was his only caregiver while he had Alzheimer's, and she was doing a great job, but it was very difficult. You know, she had to take care of him constantly. She was afraid to leave the house in case he might hurt himself, in case he might hurt the household. And there are statistics that say 60-something percent of all caregivers pass away first before the patients. And we didn't want that to happen. So we made the decision to put him in a memory care facility in Colorado last February, and it was a great place, but she still needed to be very involved with the care. We wanted to make sure at this point that he was safe and that he was comfortable. He was still one of the highest functioning patients there. He was able to dress himself and bathe himself, and he was involved in the various activities that they had going on in the home, which was wonderful. It was really a better place for him than their condo. They lived in a condo in Denver up on the 9th floor, so he couldn't go anywhere. And in this home, the wing was situated around an outdoor courtyard. So if the weather was nice, he could go inside and outside as he pleased. He wasn't watched 24 hours a day, and he didn't need that. It was a secure wing, so he couldn't leave the building, which was very important, of course, but he could go outside. He could eat what he wanted, when he wanted. He could hang out in his room and watch TV. They had field trips where they would go to elementary schools, and he would read with these children, which was wonderful. It was a great place for him to be. And as I just said, he was a very high-functioning resident. But as sometimes happens, you know, he became ill. So it started in late February where he came down with a urinary tract infection, a UTI. And there were several trips to the emergency room. On February 25th, it was decided that he needed to be admitted to the hospital. And what also tends to happen with elderly patients, at 85 years old, it's hard to bounce back from things. For you or I, we get sick, we get a cold, we get the flu, we even get like a respiratory infection, take some antibiotics, boom, we're good. We might not even miss a day of work. But my poor dad, he wasn't bouncing back. Once he got to the hospital, he came down with E. coli, and he also came down with pneumonia. And I'm told that it's very common that once an elderly person is in the hospital, that they acquire these types of illnesses while they're there. So I live in Texas. This was happening in Colorado. I decided that I needed to buy a last-minute ticket on one of the cheap airlines and be up there to see my dad and try to help my stepmom with his care and with whatever was going on. And I'm really glad that I did that. We hung out in the hospital. We talked to doctors. They assured us that they were fighting the pneumonia aggressively. They were taking daily chest x-rays to see if he was responding. Unfortunately, he was not responding. I flew home. I was there from Wednesday, March 1st through Sunday, March 5th. When I left, he was still pretty stable. He was in a regular hospital room. But when I got home that night, it was a Sunday night, my stepmom sent me a text and said that Dad had been moved to the intensive care unit, to ICU. And this is because he was not improving, he was not responding to the treatment, and they needed to monitor him, they needed to care for him more closely. So in the ICU, there's a dedicated nurse to each patient, and they are caring for this patient 24/7. Poor Dad just wasn't getting better. He wasn't. And we knew that he did not want to be kept alive by artificial means because years ago, he and my stepmom had made the decision that they would have a DNR, do not resuscitate document, and that they would also have, you know, a living will stating that they did not want to be kept alive by extraordinary means. So on Thursday, March 9th, they removed the external oxygen, and they, you know, the doctor and my stepmom decided that it was kinder to let my dad pass away. There was a hospital pastor that was in there with my stepmom when it happened, and he didn't suffer, and that was what needed to happen. So since then, we've been going through legal issues. I was named the personal representative or executor of the estate. And I had always thought that my dad had planned everything out really straightforward in his will, and he did. And it's still not easy, though, you know, taking care of all this stuff in my dad's estate. So I have to get my hands on the death certificates. I have to provide them to all of the people who need them, Social Security, any retirement and pension funds that were being distributed into my dad's account. I needed to make sure that I can write checks on his behalf. I needed to meet with the estate attorney and get all of the court paperwork put into place so that I am known as the appointed personal representative. So the reason that I wanted to talk about this topic to single parents out there is because you might be in this situation one day as well. It's so important to know what your parents' plans are as they are getting older, and they may or may not be as old as my father was at 85, but we don't know what's going to happen. Life can change on a dime. We all know that. My point is, don't wait until they're gone before you start looking into, do they even have a will? Were you named the personal representative or executor of the will? Who's in charge of taking care of everything once they go? It's not unkind to have this conversation with your parents. I was lucky because one thing my dad did was make a list of all of his bank accounts, account numbers. They had everything in place. But think about, what does it mean for people in this generation who are more technically savvy and who have social media accounts? Do you have the password to those accounts? Do you need to have them? Because what happens to the account once a person isn't there to manage it anymore? It just sits there. And my understanding is that Facebook and LinkedIn may or may not close the account if you have a death certificate. So you need to think of all of these things that could possibly be affected by a parent's passing. If they have a vehicle, if they have real estate that is going to need to be settled, you need to know exactly what they want to happen with those assets. I was also really lucky because about 2 or 3 years ago, that was when my dad decided that he wasn't going to be driving anymore. So he disposed of his vehicle at that time. I hear horror stories from other parents with other people with older parents where they decide that they can keep driving as long as they want to, and you're not going to tell them that they need to stop driving. So I got really lucky about that. But again, that's a conversation that may need to be had at some point with your parents. You know, I have heard Dave Ramsey talk about what he calls a legacy box or a legacy drawer. That is a place in the house where you need to keep all of the information for your family members if we're all going to pass away at some point, right? When you pass away. So items that would be kept in that drawer are a will, a living will, a DNR form, all bank information, mortgage, real estate information, investment information. I have all of my regular bank accounts, so just regular checking and saving, and my mortgage with Wells Fargo, because I find it easier to have everything in one place. But my investments, like IRA, Roth IRA, I've got a college fund for my granddaughter, that's all with Vanguard. So you need to have all of that information written down to make it easy for your survivors to take care of any business that needs to be taken care of. How about credit cards and loans? You need to have that written down as well. My father didn't do any online banking, but I do that exclusively. I haven't balanced a checkbook in years, and you know, I don't think I have to. I know that I don't have to, because I check my accounts pretty much on a daily basis to make sure that nothing fishy is going on. And I have my budget that I write out at the beginning of each month. And so I think the only thing that I need to provide to my heirs is information about the bank accounts. At first I thought, why did my dad make me his personal representative and not my stepmom? This is another thing. I didn't know that this was going to fall on me. I don't mind doing it. I'm not saying that. But I didn't know. I would have liked to have known. So talk to your parents about who is going to take care of all of this. It's not just a matter of, oh, distributing their wealth and their assets. I've got to pay bills. And my dad was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks and 5 days in the ICU. So I know that there are going to be some medical bills coming our way, and I'm going to have to pay that out of his estate, which is fine. It's just stuff that I really need to keep track of. So talk to your parents. Ask them, who's going to take care of all of this stuff in the event that they pass away? So that said, like I said, I'm I was surprised that he did not appoint my stepmom, but I'm really glad that he didn't. I'm glad it's me and not her, because she's still having a really hard time. She's just emotionally spent. She is sad. I'm sad too. I think it's just different for me, because when you get to be my age, the big 5-0, you understand that it's going to be coming probably sooner rather than later. And as I mentioned, my poor dad was suffering from Alzheimer's, and it wasn't a shock. And I think my stepmom had a feeling it was coming too. It's just much more emotional for her, much, much sadder. She's just really drained, and I don't think it would have been easy for her to have to deal with all of this. So talk to your parents and make sure that everybody understands what is going to happen. Now, on the other hand, especially as single parents, it is very, very important that you have your will and your estate in place in the unlikely, unhappy event that you're going to pass away. And if your kids are too young to take care of this, you need to figure out who's going to be the executor of your estate. And we will have a local attorney on one of our podcasts in the near future. She is a very close friend of mine, and she has offered to discuss this and talk about what you can do on your own and what you will need to have an attorney take care of for you. So that'll be coming up soon. And on a completely different note, I'd like to announce that Motina Books has just published a book by Kathy Threadgill, and it's called Does God Believe in Divorce? You can check that out at motinabooks.com. That is MOTINA books.com.